Hey, what's up? What's going on? Once again, welcome back.
Welcome back.
To It's Crazy or Is It God?
Is it crazy or is it God?
Is it crazy
or
is it God?
I'm going to need you to know that.
I need to know that? I know.
I mean, I don't know. It's your show. Want to know that?
Is it crazy or is it God?
Is it crazy or is it God?
Is it crazy or is it God?
Right.
Is it crazy? Or is it God?
Is it crazy or is it God? Or is it both? Because sometimes it's crazy to us, but it's God.
Here we go.
All right, whatever. You know, we can talk about this all day.
Save that as a commercial.
I don't know what that is. I was just thinking about it. But it'd be crazy sometimes. It'd be crazy to me.
It'll go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Real quick.
So, this week, I'm going to start off with you, man. How was your week?
Oh, I don't know why it's so hard for me to remember my week. Sometimes I feel like I'm just...
It was all good just a week ago.
Sometimes I feel like it's not like necessarily the day that it is, like today, right, whatever weekday it is, but it's like I'm caught in the span of 3 days, right? Like over a three-day period, it's like... I'm focused on what I need to finish up from the day before and what I need to focus on in the days coming. So it's like this really weird span. But okay, so talking about my week, trying to just like encapsulate, like what was my week? My week was good. I learned a lot about myself again. And I also just learned some things not to do the way I think about things that just, you know, that don't serve me well. And I learned sort of about my capacity to handle things. And I learned some of my sort of like dreams and desires moving forward. I think my mind was a little bit expanded this week, just in the way of what I aspire to be in the future. So I think this was very much a learning week for me about myself and about just possibility and about, you know, who I am, what I describe myself as. I know that seems kind of like spacey or whatever, but
it's deep.
I mean, is it? I just was trying to make it through, and I just found some really deep. I guess it is deep. I found some grounded lessons. Like, okay. Remember that moving forward type of thing, but nothing particularly traumatic happened or anything like that. It's just, I learned kind of about my viewpoint on myself and the world and my interactions. And then, it was just, it was an educational week for me.
Yeah.
That's how my week was. So weird. Yeah.
That's not.
It's how was your week?
It was educational.
You can't take my answer. You can't take my answer if that's the truth.
Yeah. So I'm starting to appreciate life more on a daily basis. Starting to look out. Life is every day. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'm trying to focus on the day.
And I need to learn a lot about that.
It's difficult because you have to realize that every day that you wake up, God has blessed you. Especially after reading the stuff in the Bible. Yeah. We're gonna get to that later. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, but no, please continue, because that was very intriguing.
No, okay, so if you wake up every day, that's a blessing. And I'm learning that. It's not, I know it sounds so cliche.
No, please, don't worry about that. Like, say how you feel it.
Yeah, so.
Because I'm learning from it. Other people might be learning from it, too. It's okay.
Yeah, so. It's sometimes I look ahead for the week, or I'm worried about if I didn't do something yesterday. So this week I've been just trying to focus on the daily things, being blessed every day. Every day God wakes me up, I've been praying and say thank you, and I've been working through my morning routine. I like to call it a miracle morning, but it's my morning routine. And that's what it was, educational. It's just like focus on the day. And even if something happens at work and I get flustered, it's like, don't worry about it. You're blessed. Keep moving. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about you didn't do what you said you was going to do yesterday. Focus on today and get better. Because yesterday doesn't matter, it's gone. But it's hard to not think about yesterday, and then it's hard not to think about the future. So I'm this week it was just like, focus on the day.
I mean, I think that's profound. That's something that, I mean, you think I'm playing, but I'm serious. It's something that I struggle with, and it sounds very logical when you say it, and it sounds like something I need to be focused on getting into, you know? Because a lot of the things that I sort of struggle with or get distracted by could possibly be alleviated by taking that approach. So I think that is a great, like, aspiration. That's something for me to just think about and chew on and try to incorporate into my structure, you know?
And I told you the other day I was struggling with my thoughts. Not like that, guys. So I started listening to, I recorded myself saying my affirmations, because they say the subconscious is a part, it's a part that doesn't get a lot of recognition, but it plays a vital role in how you think and how you go about life. So they always say it's more negative thoughts than positive thoughts. So I'm trying to reinforce my subconscious with positive thoughts to combat the negative thoughts.
And so
I say my affirmations. I have my affirmations recorded on there. We have vision boards. Of course, I have Bible verses. I have 15 that I like, 15 or 20 that I say. And we have a vision board that we did together.
It's like a family vision board.
We have statements up there that I incorporate. I incorporate stuff on my own vision board. I'm a big Marvel guy. I gotta delete some stuff in there.
Yeah. Okay. We're not gonna get into that.
But it's all positive though.
Okay.
All right. Most 99% is positive. So because I've been listening to it, I find myself thinking differently during the day.
Oh, here's Buttercup making a grand debut. Okay.
So it's, I'm listening to my positive thoughts, and I find myself throughout the day, when a negative thought comes, I'll combat it with something like, you know who you are. You're a man of God. You're a podcaster. You're James. And I have that in my affirmations that I listen to every night.
Right.
So it's kind of like sometimes when I doubt myself, for instance, the other day I was like, nobody wants to hear what you say, have to say at work. And then, which I can only speak for myself, that happens a lot, right? Beat myself up. But in the midst of saying that, my mind was like, no, you're the man.
Right.
You're a man of God. You're a podcaster, because I have that in my affirmations. You're a writer. You know who you are, James. And I was like, wait a minute. Did I just like...
Yeah.
Is my mind fighting each other?
Your mind is working against it. You know what? It brought up a couple of things. The reason why I laughed is because a lot of times, you know, at work, we don't speak up in meetings. Not we, like me and James, but just in general. I have a specific reason why sometimes I don't speak up in meetings, and it's literally because I don't want to make the meeting longer. It sounds so horrible. But even if I might have a little something to add, it's like, I don't want to make the meeting longer. Sometimes we get 15 minutes back. And if you calendared out an hour and you're working on something, and you got to just like, okay, got to go to this meeting. And then, you know, they go around, they're like, does anyone have anything to add to this topic? And if minimal people respond, then it's like, oh, well, then we get 15 minutes back. And I don't know, that sounds so horrible because it's like, yeah, you're there to add your perspective, your sauce, your genius, your experience, especially in this day and age where there's a better highlight on sort of like the Black experience and on the minority experience. And I think we certainly need that, especially when we have a platform to add something to the conversation. It is pertinent that we speak up, because sometimes our organizations and companies can make dire mistakes if we're not sort of on the mark, right? And I'm just thinking of two examples. I don't want to throw any companies under the bus, but in both examples, the companies made mistakes that were offensive to certain cultures. And I wondered to myself, was there anyone of this culture in meetings when we were coming up with these projects or marketing ideas? Like, did no one say that that might not be a good idea because that might be offensive to this culture or that culture?
Yeah.
So that's the number one question. If you're a company, especially a big company, and you come out with a new product line or a new thing and it's offensive to a whole entire culture or a whole entire number of human beings, and no one spoke up in the marketing meetings and no one spoke up when it was time to roll these things out, like, that's a problem, because now you've done wasted all this money and you've offended a whole group of people. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side, maybe those people were in the meetings, didn't feel comfortable in speaking up, or like me, they wanted their 15 minutes back. Or maybe those people weren't even present. And those board members and those executives who made those decisions got the brunt of that bad decision of not being diversified enough, right? So, I mean, this speaks to a larger conversation. I just feel like I'm grateful for that example of you speaking up in your meeting, because, I mean, it's needed. Even on small teams and small companies, it's needed to bring our ideas and bring our whole selves and our morals, you know, to our spaces and just being present.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I guess that was longer of an intro than normal, but that's okay. Take it away, James. Right, what did we read this week? Now,
this week was very interesting. We talked about, we will talk about Joseph. And this is Genesis 35-45. And this is very interesting because the story isn't, it's last we left off, if Simeon and Levi killing all the men, the entire village.
Man, that was wild.
So now we're getting to 35. Some highlights from 35 to 37. So Rachel dies in childbirth. And she dies giving birth to Benoni.
Mm-hmm. Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Benoni, but that's what she named him, right?
Yep. It breaks down the genealogy of Jacob's sons and Esau. Esau is basically, he discovered Edomites. So they had a whole nation, and it describes the breakdown of both genealogies. Joseph starts having dreams, and Joseph is sold by his brothers. Now, here's the question, Faye. Per Joseph's brothers, why is jealousy such a destructive and dangerous force? And what or who have you been jealous of?
Oh, my God. What a loaded question. You're going to have to repeat that in a second, because I got to go back a little bit. We all know that Jacob favored Rachel as his wife, right? So when Joseph was born, and then later Benjamin, mm-hmm. I think he was just sort of connected to them in a separate way because that was his initial desire to make a family with Rachel. But so that's what I'm saying. That's kind of a loaded question because there's so much that goes into that. We, as a child of my parents, mm-hmm. I can't sort of recognize like favorites, right? I never felt that, but it's interesting to think about the fact that when you favor a child and when you say, oh, you're my favorite child, like what that does to the other siblings.
Yeah.
Right. So some of this is, I guess, just people being evil, but some of it is what their parents may have done or said for them to feel like they're not as good as the other sibling.
Yeah.
So, okay, getting back into your question, why is jealousy such a dangerous and destructive force? Jealousy, I think, can be blinding. Mm. And so, for number one, it's a distraction. Because you're not going to ever be the person or the thing that you're jealous of. Mm. You're never going to be that person or walk their experience. So, right, the more focus you put on you not having what you want from their life, the less focus you're putting on what you have to offer and what you can do. So I think it's dangerous in that way. Mm. But also you jump outside of yourself. And in the case of Joseph and his brothers, Joseph didn't do anything to them. He was just being himself. Even when he like shared his dream, mm-hmm. he was just sounding off. He wasn't like that to them. And so for them to be jealous of him, and I don't even know if he knew really, because he was just kind of like unassuming, like these are my brothers, you know, and he was the youngest, so who knows what his experience was. But it's dangerous because when you are jealous, you are stepping outside of your own self, and you could do something that not only harms another person but harms you. Mm-hmm. Now you got to live with whatever you did based off of an emotion. Mm-hmm. So jealousy kind of gets into this darker side of emotion, mm. where you're now acting on something that isn't even speaking to who you are. Mm. You're just acting out of, mm-hmm. you know, evil, whatever overtook you. Mm. What or who have I been jealous of? That's a good question. Well, I mean, just right within the same subject, when I was younger, I used to be jealous of my sister was mm-hmm. older and she had more cool things than I did. And she has, mm-hmm. she gets to go out to do this.
You hear that, Demi?
She gets to go out and do that. But then I got to start tagging along. And I'm sure she doesn't like that. We going to the skate rink? Where we going? Well, but also, okay, so let me just get, I guess, more current. What have I been jealous of? Not specifically a person, but just sort of this ideal, right, of the American dream. Mm. When we talk about privilege, right, I'm not necessarily jealous of a culture who experiences and gets to take advantage of privilege, but there is an unspoken sort of what if moment. But then again, it always comes back to this thought to me where that's a distraction, right? Like there's so many great things about where my experiences and where my culture brought me. There's such a rich culture that we have. And I even saw some of it in this chapter mm-hmm. not this chapter, but this book that I'm definitely going to sound off when we get there. Mm-hmm. But so speaking to jealousy, I guess that's the most recent experience of jealousy that I've had to mm-hmm. just think about like, oh, well, if I gotta be real here, guys, I'll be watching like House Hunters or something. And it's like, oh, my parents are going to help me by buying a house. And we've got all this reserve money and this and that. And I'm like, well, if my family had slave money, then I'd do that too. That's so horrible to say that. But sometimes I think like that, or I have in the past, but it's just a distraction. It's like, well, we don't, right? Like we all know what happened and that's not the current state. So we don't. So what's next, right? So I think jealousy could be destructive in that way, right? Just because mm-hmm. it's a distraction.
This goes, I think, on a, to me, a deep level. So the first thing is Jacob has this dream and he shares it with his brothers. And they immediately say, who do you think you are? And, you know, they become, they're jealous of him. Then their father favors Joseph, because Joseph was, if you remember, Jacob loves Rachel.
Yes.
And Rachel only had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And she died while giving birth to Benjamin. So I think he holds them really tight-knit. And sometimes, you know, when a parent picks over a child over another child, that kind of sucks. It causes, like, distension in the ranks, I think that's what they call it. But it's not cool, and it kind of divides the kids. Pits one child against another. Like, I can't believe Dad picked him. What makes him better than me, right? That's one layer. And then another thing is, when you tell somebody your dreams that God intended for you, Faith said this, I think you said this while we were reading it last night, when you tell God's dream, the dreams that God give you and your aspirations are meant for you, when you tell them to other people, they're not going to understand. They're going to think you're crazy. And they're going to get jealous because you have what they don't. Vision. So, the third thing is jealousy takes me all the way back to Cain and Abel.
Wow.
Jealousy is a very dangerous and dark. It leads you down this rabbit hole. And the only way to climb up out of it, I think, is to be honest with yourself and hold yourself accountable.
Mm.
That's the only way I think you can get out of jealousy. Like, I can't believe they did this and they did. Well, let's think about you. Focus on yourself. Focus on the day. Focus on how you want to be the best version of yourself.
Right, and what control do you have?
Yeah.
What can you do about it?
What can you do? I was looking at this Instagram post. This guy was like, what do you say to people that are anxiety? He was like, write down all the things that are out of your control. And that's a lot of things.
Yeah.
That's 90% of things out of control. But who have I been jealous of? Man, I'm be honest, man. I'm over it, but I've gotten to the point where sometimes I've been jealous of my peers just because they're doing better than me. And it's it's competition, but no, it's a little envy, a little jealousy in there. But recent, I've been just focused on myself, because when I said take yourself accountable, everybody has a path. I have my own path. That person has their own path. That person has their own path. Hmm. If I stick to my path, I'm going to be one of the great ones. And I'm going to say that. And that's how I'm going to continue to say it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen. So, but for me to realize that, I have to focus on, what does Snoop say? I want to thank me. But I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I thank God. And then I thank God. Then I put into myself, and then I put into Faith.
Yes.
That's it. And then I focus on my business. What besides that, if I focus on what God's will has for me and my dreams, I don't have to be worried about anybody
else. Yeah. Wow. That's a whole word. Like, this is literally what Joseph lived. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue on with his story, but mm-hmm. he was a great example of how things aren't always going to go favorably for you just mm-hmm. because you're a follower
yep.
of Christ. They're not always going to be all hunky-dory, sugar sticks and rainbows.
Yeah.
But if you stick with it, right, and you just try to just get through temptation as best as you can and just keep walking with God and giving him the glory, then he'll turn it around. He'll make everything work mm-hmm. in your favor. So that's interesting. And then even the thing about sharing your dreams with people, mm-hmm. and I took it, so it's very, it's literal and figurative, mm-hmm. because he literally had a dream and yeah. he talked about it.
Yeah.
And we talked about this week about how, and a few weeks ago, about when you have a dream, you should see what God says about yes. it. And Joseph actually says something to that.
Yeah,
point when he was when he got later went to Egypt and yeah. he was locked up and somebody was
later,
like
yeah. actually we'll talk about that
yeah
next.
We'll talk about that yeah, next yeah, but yeah, yeah great points. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, actually
the honesty from you and the impact, that was a strong point. Okay.
Oh yeah, this is therapy for me, guys.
I know, that's right.
Okay, so now we're at Genesis 38-40, which treacherous family. Joseph is sexually harassed and jailed. Joseph interprets two dreams. Mm-hmm. So, when we say treacherous family, his brothers sold him to Egypt.
Can we go back and talk about that
yeah.
for a second?
Yeah. They sold him to Egypt. That's wild.
There's a couple of things that happen here.
Oh, you get, yeah.
I got to break this down. Yeah, so, number one, when Joseph was, I don't even remember how old he was. So anyway, he was younger. His yeah. brothers were older. He had one younger brother mm-hmm. and his dad,
Jacob,
yeah, who's named Israel now.
But they fluctuate him, though. It's,
yeah. Sends him to go, oh, your brother's in the field. Go see, you know, mm-hmm. make sure they're all right type of thing. So he goes to look for his brothers, to see what mm-hmm. they're up to. Do they need anything? Whatever. And they see him coming off from the distance. Now, this is after he already had his dream and shared it with them. And they really plot on him. And first, somebody says one of his brothers was, like, trying to kill him.
Yeah,
which I can't even imagine. You know.
He was like, let's kill him. I was like, man.
And then another brother kind of stands up and says, like, well, let's not do that. You know, but let's just mess with him a little bit right. or type thing. Let's throw him down in a well or mm-hmm. do whatever. Now, before that, Joseph had made his dad this, like, really cool tunic, mm-hmm. multicolored tunic, which I guess was, like, a bond between them because he had one and his dad had one. Mm-hmm. And when they decided to mess with their brother, Joseph's brothers ended up taking his tunic and throwing him down the well. And then these people come by and they're like, we'll just sell him. Right? We'll sell him off into slavery and then we'll tell our dad that he died.
Yeah.
Right?
One of the brothers before that, the oldest, Reuben, when they were going to throw him in the pit, remember, he wanted to wait and come back and get him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he left. Yeah, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. He left because he didn't know, right?
Yeah.
So the brothers, you know how siblings can be. But
I know.
This is a little extreme.
Yeah, saving.
But it's just like, you know.
Sell my brother into slavery.
Just sell my brother into slavery. It's fine.
What?
But what ended up happening, once they sold him and the older brother, like you mentioned, came back and was like, he didn't know that happened. And he thought that his brother was, that Joseph was actually dead. That because the other brothers had ended up killing a goat and dipping his tunic in the blood. So then when they go back to their dad and say, you're Israel / Jacob,
yeah,
they basically are like, oh, we think something happened to Joseph. Can you confirm? You know how you gotta confirm the body or whatever in the morgue? They gave him Joseph's tunic. And they were like, is this his tunic? Is this like the one that you have? In so many words, they didn't say those exact words. And their dad was, he confirmed, yeah, this is it. Oh my gosh. So he was mourning. He was crying and stuff. And even in that moment, I just felt like that was so evil. Like, how jealous are you that even if you love you're so jealous of the love that your parents gave to this sibling. But when you see your parents in pain like that, do you not just want to be like, okay, wait a minute, listen. All right, my bad, Dad. That's not the truth. He's alive type of thing. So I just wanted to go back there
yeah.
and just sort of talk about that. Because these guys were not a normal mean. They were kind of evil. In fact, God took a few of them away. Just basically, mm-hmm. and it was short. And it was short in the Bible. Oh, so-and-so was evil, so God killed him. And that yeah. happened like a couple of times.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I'm sorry. Back to what you were saying.
Now, Joseph is sexually harassed in jail. And then Joseph interprets two dreams. So Joseph is sold into slavery, but remember, God is with him. So what happens is Pharaoh finds, and we found out that Pharaoh's not a person. Okay.
For real. Oh my gosh. Oh, dunce moment. I'll just admit to that.
I didn't even go lie. I thought it was,
I really thought there was one Pharaoh. I thought that was a name. Yeah. Okay. And it, silly me, because I did recognize that Pharaoh, like a title, like king or president, right? I did know that was, I knew that was a thing, but for some reason in the Bible, I felt like, oh, Pharaoh, they're talking about one person, like, oh, tell Pharaoh, let my people go, like, that's the guy. And so, dunce moment, and disclaimer, please make sure you're reading your Bible and doing your own research, because we need people to come and say, well, you know, that's not exactly how it goes. So nobody did that for us. We've just figured it out on our own.
Yeah, read in the Bible said the title.
Yeah, they got specific about the Pharaoh. So yeah, that was a dunce moment. So, well, like
oh, it's all good. So then we got
She goes. Yep. Everybody say hi to Buttercup. Can you see her? Buttercup.
Anyway, whatever. All right, so because God is with Joseph, Pharaoh recognizes this, brings Joseph in his house, gives Joseph a huge role. Because God finds favor in Joseph and blesses Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh recognizes this and says, well, the more you have control, the more my house is blessed. Mm. Now, it's saying that when it says Joseph is sexually harassed, Pharaoh's name. It starts with a P.
Oh, I thought it started with an S.
Hold on, I'm about to.
Let's see. Which?
Potiphar and his wife.
Oh, where is it? Potiphar.
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 Potiphar. So Potiphar is the Pharaoh, and this is the house of Jacob is in.
No, that's the captain of Pharaoh's royal guard.
Well, that's the captain of Pharaoh's royal guard.
Yeah, that's the guy who he was within the, and he was helping him in the house. He was helping
him in the house. And then his wife wanted Joseph, and Joseph was like, no, like, wait a minute, listen, you're going to get me killed. And I'm not just that type of guy. I'm an honest guy, man. I'm here. Like,
you got nobody's right.
You got to understand. Joseph is like, I'm a Hebrew in an Egyptian's house, and I have favor. I have a real high position, and God is with me. I'm not going to take another man's wife, right? So, what she did was, she cried false witness. For people, that means that she says, he touched me. He did this to me. And Joseph didn't at all. And I'm not going to say that, but this has happened in history. So it maybe continuously happens. But then because of who Joseph is, he gets jailed. Now watch this. Joseph is jailed. And this is a key thing, guys. God is still with him. Mm-hmm. So he finds favor in the jail and becomes second to the head guard, because God is with him. And then he interprets two dreams. I'm going to talk about the two dreams. One, so Pharaoh's two assistants, one was a butler, one was a chef. You get arrested. They have these two dreams. One dream, the butler said he was pouring grapes in Pharaoh's glass. Pharaoh was drinking it. The other, no, it was three branches he saw on a grapevine. Mm-hmm. He squeezed the grapes into Pharaoh's cup. Pharaoh's drinking it. The chef, right, Pharaoh's chef, had a dream where he had, he was 3 days, he was dreaming of, I forgot.
They were three cakes. Okay.
Three cakes.
Yeah. There were three cake baskets on my head. And in the top basket, there were some sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds of prey were eating these foods out of the basket on my head.
Yep. So here's the. So they're like, "What do these dreams mean?" Joseph breaks them down.
First Joseph says, "Do not interpretations belong to God?"
That's what I was about to say.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. But no, this is the breakdown. Joseph was like, "When you have a dream, go to the Bible, go to God, and get your interpretations."
Get out.
So then Joseph breaks them down.
Breaks down the dreams.
Now the butler, Joseph says it's going to be 3 days. You're going to be good. Pharaoh's going to find favor in you. You'll be squeezing grapes in his glass. You're good to go. You have your position.
The three vines represent three days.
Now the other guy, he said, listen.
The baker.
Pharaoh's not going to find favor in you. You got 3 days. He's going to hang you. And the birds are going to be eating from your flesh. Mm. Now, this is crazy. Joseph tells the butler, do not forget me.
Mm-hmm.
And what Joseph said exactly happened. And here's the question. Joseph wound up in jail for doing the right thing. When have you been treated unfairly for doing good? And how did God help?
Whoa. That's a heavy question. I'm thinking of one thing, but I guess I could just speak to the overall idea of how have you been treated unfairly and doing good and how did God help? I'll just speak to the overall theme of it. You know, sometimes God puts you in an unfavorable situation so that you can look around and realize you don't belong there.
Mm.
And this is not what happened in this story necessarily, right? In the story of the Bible, but that's my experience. Yeah. When I feel like I'm doing the right thing, I know I'm not tripping. Yeah. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
It's like you're just trying to, you know, get fruit from a dead tree type of thing. You don't belong here. This situation is not for you. This relationship or this, you know,
job
or this friendship or whatever it is, whatever the situation might be, right? That's actually played out a few times in my life.
Yeah.
So there have been a few times where I've been treated unfairly and I was only trying to do the right thing or I was only being honest or holding up moralic standards and I didn't try to bash anybody with my truth and my high horse.
There's no your truth. It's only the truth.
And God always helped me by showing me where I was.
Yeah.
Right? In those instances. I'm sure this can apply in so many different like scenarios, but that's the overall theme that I can speak to with experience.
I got an example.
Okay, you go ahead.
So sometimes, exactly what Faith just said, sometimes you're in an unfair situation and you've done everything right and then God blesses you because you're right and maybe that was his plan the whole time. And sometimes you just got to be committed to him.
Mm.
I'll give you an example that we both went through. One of our previous workplaces.
Do we want to go there?
No, because we prayed to God about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of speaks to what I was just saying.
That's why I was like, that's just to give an example.
Okay.
Just one example where we've gotten lifelong friends and just a man, lifelong friends. And
for sure.
The situation is now, I think it shaped us into probably who we are today. For real. I mean, because it propelled us to, maybe God maybe was saying, look where you're at.
Do it now.
Yeah, look where
you're at. I think it was something that it was, that's a really good. Yeah, I get you. Because it's like you could say, oh, one day I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Or one day I'm going to be this or do that. And then sometimes God just is like, look around, do it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, do it now.
Transformation was real.
And so God helps in so many ways. Yeah. I mean, in the way of Joseph, where he, wherever he was, God was assisting him.
Yep.
Right? So it's like, oh, now my brothers trapped me in a well and sold me off into slavery. Okay, what am I going to do now? God got my back. Oh, he's showing me favor and people are able to see that I'm good and I'm being blessed. So they want me to have ownership over what they have ownership over so that they can be blessed, right? They see something in me. Mm-hmm. They see my talent. They see, or not even necessarily talent, but they see my blessings and they want me to touch what they have type of thing. And then everywhere he went, from being sold into slavery and being in Potiphar's house and getting through that and being, I don't know if that he was necessarily tempted by the wife, if he wanted to do it, but he got through that situation and then he goes to the jail and the same thing happens for him. People are like, oh, you're blessed. You're going to oversee everything. Mm-hmm. And then he has a situation where he says, oh, I'm not going to interpret your dream for you through my own sort of skill, but God is going to interpret your dream through me. And then he gets to the point where even that is just a setup for him to be even closer to sort of the reign. So then when he does that for the guy in jail and says, please don't forget me, he did forget him for 2 years. But then when the Pharaoh needed him.
We might have gone to that
then. Yeah. Then he's all set up for greatness. So I think, you know, obviously God helped him all along the way. Mm-hmm. Even when he probably was feeling like, man, there's no hope for me. Well, I don't know if he ever felt like that. It doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. But even, I'm sure he didn't, every day wasn't a great day for him. He was in jail for a long time. Mm-hmm. And for something that he didn't do. But I think God was with him the whole time. And that's another aspect of it that is sort of like, in addition to what we said about how God helps you see what's around you, in another way, God always helps because he's always with you. Mm-hmm. As you're going through even what seems like hard times, mm-hmm. it's like he's always there just helping you through whatever stage you're in. Okay, that was my point.
So now we're at Genesis 41-42. So now Joseph is, you know, still in jail. But here's the key points. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. Joseph succeeds as leader. Joseph's brothers go to Egypt. Now, like Faith just said, that so Pharaoh has these dreams and he keeps having the same one over and over again. And it's in a number of seven. Seven, he's seeing seven cows healthy, then eat.
Then he saw some who were emaciated.
Emaciated.
Right? So seven cows, and then it's the fat cows, healthy cows.
Yeah.
And then there's seven emaciated cows, so you can see their bones.
Yeah. And then the fat cows, what was it?
The emaciated cows came and ate the fat cows.
Like, yeah. Oh. Yep. And he kept having it. So
his butt. And then the second one was about the grain.
The grain, yeah. He's like, I'm having these dreams. I have these dreams. And butler's like, you know, this Hebrew that I was in jail with, he interprets dreams. He said, okay, bring him. So he brings Joseph. And now Joseph says the same thing. He says, listen, this isn't me. This is God. He's speaking through me. This is God interpreting your dream. So Joseph says, it's going to be 7 years of great prosperity, great harvest. Then it's going to be 7 years of the worst famine. Huh. It's going to be destitute. It's going to be bad. So the Pharaoh's like, what would you do? And Joseph's like, well, what I would do is, if it's really good, you take a percentage of it. So when the famine comes, you'll have enough to last you the 7 years.
Right.
So Pharaoh's like, okay, now I think you should do it, and I'm going to give you, you can oversee the whole land of Egypt, and I'm going to let you institute this plan. Mm-hmm. So Joseph's like, okay, I'll do it. And for 7 years, Joseph did it. They said that he kept so many grains, it was insurmountable.
Yeah, they couldn't even count it.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. All right? And then the 7 years are up and a famine goes about the land. Here's the thing, guys. Because Joseph saved up, not only were people in Egypt going to Pharaoh, people outside of Egypt had to come to Pharaoh because Joseph mm-hmm. had all those reserves. And that's why his brothers came. His father said, go to Egypt. They have right. grains and food. And then he went. And his brothers don't know. They don't know it's Joseph. But Joseph knows it's his brothers. So.
Point out a couple funny things for me. Ask the question.
Okay, go ahead. What?
There's a couple funny things about this to me is that he interpreted this dream, and he knew the numbers, right? He knew it's going to be 7 years of this and 7 years yeah. of that. And the people on the outskirts of Egypt came there too, because somehow word got back to those people that, oh, because everybody in the region is experiencing the famine.
Yeah.
But it dawned on me, how did they find out? There was no TV or radio. There was no cell phones. How did word get around back then? You know what I mean? Like, who was going and telling people? But I guess, you know, we're humans and we communicate. And so that's interesting. Also, I thought this was funny, because we're going to get into this in a little bit. But at one point, once Simeon and Levi, this is way back, maybe back in like 35, Genesis 35. After Simeon and Levi killed all those people, right?
That was 34, yeah.
God told their father, Jacob, to go and like go to this altar, and he built yes. this altar and everything. And then when he built the altar and prayed and, you know, blessed them and everything, he told them to change their clothes and stuff like that, because they were probably all bloody and stuff. Jacob poured some wine out. Just reminded me. It reminded me of like how modern day they poured some out for the homies. It was so wild, because I was like, is that where that came from? Then fast forward, and this is what made me think of it. When Pharaoh gave Joseph ruling, like reign over all, they put him in some flashy gear. They put him in some linen, gave him a gold chain. I yep. thought that was interesting that was yep. in the Bible. Oh, yeah, put this on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're one of us now. Even though they knew he was from yeah. the Hebrew culture, they're like, oh, no. You rocking with us now. Huge. Only the finest. They put him in some linen. My imagination, I'm just imagining this fly, white linen
outfit
with a gold chain.
Yeah.
Probably some bomb sandals. Like, he's in Egypt just living it up. Well, that's relevant. So I did want to point that out, because that's relevant for what's about to happen. But that was just a funny thing that I thought of.
Questions. Joseph's help was not immediate.
Mm-hmm.
Immediate.
Yeah.
What do you think he learned from... What do you think he learned in the meantime that we can also learn?
Your favorite word of the week.
Yeah, I know it.
Really? Patience.
Oh, the skill.
I'm just telling you that, yeah. and it obviously, Joseph's help was not immediate. And you yeah. think about how he, even though he had the favor of his father yeah. growing up, his mom had passed away. That had to be painful. And then he's not having the best time with his brothers, even yeah. though he probably doesn't really have much to compare it to. He is still not living the good life. Then he gets sold into slavery. Okay. So there's this whole period of time, and we don't even hear him complain, really. It's like the one time when he told the woman of Potiphar's wife, mm-hmm. like, listen, lady, I'm not going to do this. What do you think this is? He never even really complained. When he was in the jail, he said, you know, don't forget about me to the baker. Or not the baker. That was the guy that got hanged. But to the butler. But that's really kind of like, we only get a few indications that he's not. Obviously, the situation advances. Obviously, you're in jail, right? You're obviously enslaved and captured or whatever earlier on. But it's like, he's not complaining. We don't get a lot of that out of the story. So the fact that his help was not immediate and he had to wait all these years, mm-hmm. and then he goes from being an enslaved person to a jailed person, and then he goes from being a jailed person to, that's when he starts coming up. That's the span of that's happening is, I want to say, between 13 and 14 years, if I recall correctly.
I think he was 30 when he saw his brothers again.
I think he was 40.
Maybe.
I don't know. I could be lying about that. I don't know for sure. I can't remember. What do you think he learned in the meantime that we can also learn? Patience. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen on your time. You're not going to be able to fast forward and get to what you want. You're going to have to go through some things. We don't know what he learned over those dozens of years, you know, that dozen or so years. We don't know, but we know that he was tested. Mm-hmm. And we know that he came out on top, that he didn't go and sleep with Potiphar's wife. We know that he didn't do some of the things that I'm sure he could have probably done. And I think that what I can learn is that even though my help is not going to be immediate, I need to just trust God and keep doing what's right.
Yeah. Patience is the key. So remember his dream where he said that I was going to be ruler over you guys. And he told his father, and his father was like, this is sometimes you have to protect your dreams. Because people are not going to understand what God has for you, even if they're close to you or not. Because he told it to his father and told his brothers, I'm going to rule over you. They laughed at him. They said, what are you talking about? That's when the jealousy happened. Fast forward years later, once you acquire that patient skill, it's to fruition now. Mm. He is ruler over them. They're coming to him. But that's the skill. That's what you can learn. Patience. I'm telling you, man. I'm going to put that on the shirt. Patience is a skill. All right. Now, the second trip to Egypt, Joseph ensnares his brothers and Joseph reveals his identity. So, once Joseph finds out these are his brothers, they don't recognize him. And he can speak the language. And Egyptian language. So they're like, all right. So Joseph says, okay, he starts breaking down and says, okay, you got some siblings, you got brothers, you got a father. Yeah. They're like, yeah. You know, it's weird because he knows a lot about them, right? Mm-hmm. But they still don't think it's Joseph. No way it could be Joseph, right?
I don't even think it crossed their mind. Because they only came there to get the grain.
The grain.
Right? Yep. Their dad was like, hey, look, you know, I heard that Egypt has grain. Go out there and get us some.
They think Joseph is an Egyptian.
Take the money, go out and get some.
They don't know.
So they don't, they have any reason to think that. They forgot about him long time ago type thing.
And so then he asked about their little brother. And he was like, go get the little brother and bring him back to me because you were spies. And I believe they left. He wept because he knew it was them and he misses his family. No matter what his family did to him, he missed them.
So, I have a different take on it.
What's your take?
So, I don't know if we were clear. Well, it doesn't matter. You guys, we always say you should read along with us because this is our interpretation. This is what we picked up. Mm-hmm. We, you know, it is our goal to get everyone who's watching to read along with us. So I won't go back over and say everything that happened, but I think there's a couple of key points that I have to point out. The question is, what combination of emotions must Joseph have felt upon seeing his brothers? Mm-hmm. So earlier back before they sold him into slavery, he had that dream. I got to point that out again, right? About, oh, I had this dream that you bowed down to me, mm-hmm. right? And even when he told his father was like, wait a minute, like, He didn't say, like, let's not say that, but he stored it away. He was just like, what does that even mean? And he said something inquisitive, like, what does that mean, Joseph? But he kept it in his mind. I feel like that's probably going to come back in the chapters to come. But I think there was this sort of mocking of that. Oh, yeah, you had a dream. Great. You're going to blah, 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 right? It's just similar. This is when I go back to the literal versus figurative level of dreams, what a dream means. A dream means you woke up and you have this picture in your head of something that your brain showed you while you were asleep, right? Something that felt like you experienced it because it happened in your mind. That's one way to look at a dream. Another way to look at a dream or define a dream is something that you hold in your heart that you hope to bring into life, into fruition, right? So a dream could be, oh, I want to be a best-selling, you know, author, or I want to be a well-known painter, or whatever your dream might be. I think when you say your dreams out loud, like James said earlier, to people who don't believe in you or believe that it's possible for them, really, because that's what we're talking about. They don't think that your dream is possible. There's this sort of mocking that happens, like, oh yeah, you're gonna be a writer, or you're gonna be a great whatever, right? I think that must have felt a way, right, when you're telling somebody just what you're seeing. And I think so that it's like, I gotta take it back there, because I think that's one of the emotions that came up, because there had to be some level of shock. Even Joseph himself couldn't have predicted that he was going to be working right next to Pharaoh, you know, especially after he was sold into slavery. There's no way he could put that together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God does things like that. There's no way you're going to just predict that, right?
Yeah.
But he had the dream, and I don't know if he was thinking about that all these years, like he was enslaved or in jail, but that had to be one of those moments, one of those come to Jesus moments, if you will, where you're like, oh my God, this is really happening, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that was the number one emotion. Number two emotion is whenever somebody wrongs you, whether you forgive them or not, you don't forget. And I think when he saw his brothers, he recognized them, and he recognized that they didn't recognize him. I mean, that had to be the number one thing. I think we all have an experience of somebody who kind of, not even necessarily did us dirty, but somebody who knew us back in the day, and then you see them again, and then it's like, oh, hey, what's up? Not to say this is good blood or bad blood, but it's like they remember you in a certain way, so you might not even be looking really at the same person because all this life experience, right? Mm-hmm. So those two emotions are certainly at play. Like, oh, right? You don't even recognize me? He never said that, but I know that must have been a thought in his head. These are my brothers. And then the immediate next thought had to be, who sold me into slavery? Yeah. These dudes are right here. And they don't even see that I'm this guy. So he talked to them. It says he talked to them with, I don't know how they said it. It was some sort of authority. He was talking to them a little crazy. Oh, you're spies and all this. Mm-hmm. So he must have had some level of angst or some level of, oh, you don't know who you're talking to. He had, and at that point he's in power. He didn't abuse it, but it's just kind of like, I'm thinking he had to be feeling emotions of, wow, this is really happening. Two of, I remember what you did to me. Right? So emotions of anger. But then the third emotion, he had to be feeling of love, that these are my brothers. Yeah. No matter what they did to me, I still love them. Yeah. And there's all this conflict with those three feelings, right? The feeling of, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. The feeling of, I remember what you did to me. Mm-hmm. And the feeling of, but I love you anyway.
Yeah.
I can understand how that much conflict can cause somebody to be upset. Because you're just having an internal conflict.
Yes.
Sorry. Long-winded answer. That's what I think.
Okay, so then he tells his brothers to go get his little brother Benjamin and bring him back. And they leave, and then they notice and they say, our money is in our satchels with this grain. But we paid them. Joseph put the money back. He basically was like, take all the grain and your money. I'm not charging you for this. So they was like, that's weird. Oh, we got to return it. And he thinks we're spies. Oh, this isn't good. And he wants Benjamin. Jacob's like, no. She's not taking my... Joseph's already gone. This is... Y'all are going to kill me. And Judah's like, listen. If I don't bring him back, you can have my life. So Jacob finally does it. Benjamin goes back. And Benjamin may be like, I don't know, 13 or, 15 or... He's not like an older guy. He's a young man. And Joseph sees him. And then Joseph puts a silver cup and sends him off. And then he tells...
His folk, his court or whatever.
Yeah, his...
Servants.
Yeah, servants. Chase them down. Overtake them, which is catch up to them. My silver cup is in Benjamin's satchel. Tell them that he took it and then bring him back. So they found that out. They took it. They brought him back. Judah's breaking down. He's like, please, no. My father already lost. Joseph and Benjamin... It's just like, oh my goodness. Everybody's like, no, he didn't do this. We didn't do this. It's breaking down. And then Joseph finally breaks down and tells him, I'm Joseph. Mm-hmm. I'm your brother. And it was an array of emotions. And they had a big feast. And
That was before.
That was before that he broke down, that they had a big feast. And this is when the brothers were kind of shocked that he knew what they liked.
Yeah, they're like, who's this guy?
Yeah, so then Joseph finally breaks down and reveals his identity. And to me, the combination of emotions are, number one, you didn't believe in me. You made fun of me. You're supposed to be the people that I trust and love the most.
Mm-hmm.
You betrayed me. I go to this foreign land that I don't know, where Hebrews and Egyptians don't get along. I work my way up. I'm patient with God. I do everything right. And I am now like the man.
Yeah. He's the man.
I'm the man. I'm the man around
here. Joseph is the man.
He's the man.
No doubt.
There's no doubt. I've been through jail. I ain't do nothing wrong. I went to jail, came out. I'm the man. Like, people know me around here. This isn't a game. And I have people that will, if I say get it, they're going to do it. It's no questions asked, right? So, I think you were right, right? Just, I think everything came into it. And then he saw his little brother, and I think he broke down. But I think the Bible doesn't say this. So I don't know how he felt about his brothers, but I know that he knew that they were them, and he put them through some stuff, though. He didn't just welcome in like,
yeah,
come on in. He was just like, wait a minute, you don't even know who I am. So I agree with everything you say. I think it was a range of emotions beginning from not believing in his dream to selling him to then going to jail. Not even like going to jail for a day or two. No, he did years.
Yeah.
Right? And then coming out of jail, now being prosperous as the man. I think it was just a lot of emotions, and he broke down and he cried, and then, you know, he was happy to see his brothers. And that's it. But once again, patience was heavily involved. This was actually pretty good. It was a lot going on.
A lot. There's a lot of stuff we didn't even mention, but you have to read it yourself. You gotta read it.
It's a lot that goes on, but we were doing. It just is good how it gives the outline and snippets of it. We ain't talk about what happened to Judah.
Yeah, with his wife. That was like an excerpt. That's a whole different story. I think some of this stuff is going to come back.
Yeah.
And be relevant. There was even a whole breakdown that we skipped over of Esau's offspring.
Yeah.
And
which we realized
Jacob's offspring. Yeah.
Eliphaz, the Temite, who knew Job was a descendant of Esau.
Yeah.
From Teman.
So it's interesting because they kind of break it down, mm-hmm. and it's detailed of who begat who, whose parents are who. It's like a family tree. And so we start to see these nations being established in a way where these are the people who are the chiefs, and these are the people who are the offspring, and they, you know, go on to have more offspring. And so this is kind of how things are moving. We didn't go over any of that just now, but we just want to reinforce that please don't take our word for it. Yes. Go to the source.
Yes.
Read your Bible. I'm telling you, I'm here to represent and tell you that it is very, very fun.
Yeah.
Over the past few weeks, as our lives have, you know, gotten busy or whatever, we've had to adjust our reading schedule some, but we have always just been able to find that time to just mm-hmm. read a few verses or read a few chapters mm-hmm. at a time, or, you know, sometimes all together if we have to. But it's not as hard as you think.
No.
I don't say you, because I don't know you specifically in your schedule, but previously in the past, I want to say maybe 5 to 10 years, as I've thought about, oh, I should read the Bible, it's much easier than I anticipated, right? Like, oh, it's because once you start reading it, you getting into it, and it's like, I want to know what happens next. It's like watching a Netflix. It's like binging. It's like, I want to know what happens next. Yeah. Even when my eyes get tired, I'm like, man, I want to know what happens next. So I'm here to tell you, it's a really, really interesting story. And it's the story that you want to know. So don't take our word for it. Go to the source, read your Bible. I do want to shout out a couple of folks here. Demeter Joe, if you're not following her on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, I don't know, wherever she is, I'll go ahead and leave her link tree in the description. Make sure you're doing that. She does a lot of reviews. She's really mm-hmm. funny. She does cooking. She does mm-hmm. a lot of different stuff that is really cool. I mean, she also does a show on ReTV, mm-hmm. Which is also another thing that I want to shout out. ReTV, they have a YouTube channel, but they mm-hmm. just are recently launching an app that you should go and look for, and I'll find the link and I'll put that in the description box below. And they talk about a number of topics. So if you haven't checked them mm-hmm. out yet, we're gonna leave that information below. ReTV, also Demeter Joe. Also gotta shout out my wonderful husband here in fourth quarter.
Yeah.
He's doing big things in that space, and he's got some other things that he's working on and he'll be excited to talk about. Just wanna shout out those people. And as usual, we're reading from the teachsundayschool.com 365 mm-hmm. day daily Bible reading plan.
Yeah.
It's wherever you're getting your Bible reading plan from is fine. And we're not sponsored. None of this is sponsored, but just like to give love. Mm-hmm. I want to also just mention, while I have your attention, that you should follow us on all the platforms. We're giving something different on every platform.
Yes.
If you're on TikTok, if you're on LinkedIn, if you're on YouTube, if you're on Instagram, if you're on Twitter, if you're on anywhere you are, we want to know where you are. But we're just giving you a little something different everywhere. So you want to follow us on all the platforms, because we have some things brewing that we want to make sure that you get to enjoy. So that's all I got. It was a great reading this week. Next week, we're going to continue on reading Genesis. I think this week is going to finish Genesis. Oh,
yep. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to go from Genesis. We're going to read the end of Genesis. So Genesis 46 to 50. And then we're going to start into Exodus.
Yep.
Exodus 1 through 6.
Yep. There it is.
So another fun week. Yes. Hopefully you'll be reading along. And yeah.
That's it, guys. So I'm going to end this. Y'all have a wonderful week. We'll see y'all next week. I'm going to say it again. Don't take our word for it. Go to the source, Read the Bible. Peace.